it the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, welcome back to the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Ow. Now, here's Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Behold, a fiendish masterpiece!
This is Picking with the Pickers. For years, every Friday morning during football season, you've heard legends pick their picks.
Vince Gill, Steve the Colonel Cropper, Kathy Lee Gifford, Killer Bees, Dave Mason, Rob Schneider, Arsenio Hall.
It's time to pick the brains of the Pickers as they tell their tales and pick their picks. Picking with the Pickers is presented by Tim Leeper Roofing. And now, here are your hosts for Picking with the Pickers, Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
All right, mental note to get that open updated. We left out a legend that's been on with us every year, Whispering Bill Anderson. His return is this morning, Bill. Why you're not in that open, I don't know.
Charlie. I kept listening for my name, and I didn't hear it, so goodbye.
Bill, charge it to our heads and not our hearts. You know we love you. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for being on with us.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you guys. Thank you.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good, Bogey. How about you?
Doing good, man. Football season rolling along. Your Georgia Bulldoggies are the win over Clemson. You know, I always like that they hold their destiny in their own hands, don't we all? But it's football season, man, and I know things are rolling along with you. And I know we've got a resurgence and everything, and we talked last fall, I think, on this, and you know everything was shut down. But are you getting back out? What are you doing, man?
Well, not a whole lot. I'm doing some shows out at the Opry. Mm-hmm. I'll be on tomorrow night out there. I'm not touring. I'm not going out on the road. I'm trying to be as cautious as I can, you know, with the COVID situation. And I've got some health issues in my family, and for that I'm trying to be a little extra careful.
Well, and I've always wanted, I don't think, you know, we've talked a lot over the years on and off the air. By the way, our friend George Plaster, I was on with him yesterday afternoon, and told him that you were going to be on, and he said to say hello, and he was telling me about the time that Jeff Francoeur, of course, the Braves player, now their announcer, that his father was such a big friend of yours, so he hooked you and Jeff Francoeur's father up, of course, the Braves there and everything, and so Plaz says hello to you.
Well, a big hello right back to him. I listened to him, and I'm glad he's on your station now.
We're the only one that can have him, really.
He's been everywhere else.
Yeah, because we leave him alone.
Yeah, exactly. We let him do what he wants to do. You know, he's not sitting in post-show meetings for a half an hour after he gets done. So I think he likes that.
I'm sure.
Bill, I want to ask you this, though. How cool is it when you were inducted into the Grand Ole Opry membership, and now – when people on stage get invited, and just the way it does, it's just so uplifting. And you know, because man, that's the pinnacle of country music, is being a member of the Grand Ole Opry and being the Country Music Hall of Fame, of which you are. But what's it like when you induct somebody?
When I joined the Opry, and I just celebrated my 60th anniversary as an Opry member back in July.
Wow!
So it tells you how long I've been hanging around out there. But when I joined the Opry, Greg, they really didn't make much of a big deal about it. There was a little article in the paper on Monday in the Nashville Banner that said, well, Saturday night, Bill Anderson was made the 61st member of the Grand Ole Opry, and that's about all it was. But they've turned it into almost a coronation now. I mean, it's such a big thing, And I was just reading where my friends, the Isaacs, got inducted on Tuesday night. I wasn't there, but I was there in spirit. I love those folks and glad to have them as a part of our family. It's a big thing now, and it really should be a big thing. It's as you say, it's kind of the pinnacle of success in country music, and I'm glad that they treat it that way.
Bill, how much pride do you take in the fact that not only are you a legendary singer, but also the songwriting as well? You know, being able to create something from the ground up and have it become something. You know, I've always, you know, I've been in broadcasting my whole life, and I like the being on air, quote unquote, part of it. But I also like the creative process, putting something together, whether it's a sportscast or a show or a radio program. Do you get equally the amount of satisfaction from songwriting as you do from performing?
Well, I really do, John. That's what brought me to Nashville. I came here as a songwriter. I had written a couple of things while I was still down in Georgia working as a disc jockey, and it opened some doors for me in Nashville. And everything that happened in addition to the songwriting has just kind of been the icing on the cake, because the songwriting is what brought me to the dance. And I'm like you. It's the fun part, the creative part. Staring at that blank sheet of paper, and all of a sudden there's words written on there, and sometimes you look and say, where did those come from? And I guess we all know where they come from, but the creative process has never gotten old to me, and that's something I've been able to continue doing during the pandemic and during the time that we're kind of forced to be at home. I can sit here with my guitar and make up tunes and see if I can get some words to rhyme.
What song or two or a few that you said, no way in hell this is going to, you know, do anything? And conversely, you think you've got the next best hit and it doesn't do anything. You really don't know, do you?
You totally don't know. The public decides it. And if you can figure out the public, you're way ahead of most people. You know, you write something and you think, well, this is the best. It's the best I can do, and then you just kind of put it out there and let the chips fall where they may. When John Randall and I wrote Whiskey Lullaby, John did not believe in it at all. In fact, I had to get him to come to the studio to do a little demo record so we could present it to some people. Hmm. He said, nobody's going to want to record a double suicide drinking song. And it turned out that Whiskey Lullaby was the song of the year, so you just really don't know.
In order, can you name all your albums? How many albums have you put? was Still the first one?
I can't name all of my kids. All of my albums.
How many albums have you put out? 70?
Around 70, 72, something. Now, that's counting, you know, the ones that they've prepackaged and re-released.
Sure. Right.
I think I've probably recorded maybe 50 or 60 somewhere in there.
Wow.
It amazes me.
Well, I like what he said, just the fact that, you know, the whole process of putting something together where you start with that blank piece of paper. Now, take me inside the process, Bill. Does it start with, you know, the musical part and the melody and all that type of stuff, and the words come in later, the lyrics come in later? How does that work for you?
Well, for me, I'm basically a lyric writer.
Okay.
I write from a lyrical idea. So the lyric, in 99% of my songs, the lyric comes first.
Okay.
But now, not everybody writes like that. I mean, I've written with your friend Vince Gill, who's on this show with you quite often, and Vinny will often sit just with his guitar and get a little riff going and get a little melody going, and then he'll try to maybe find some words that fit what he's playing on his guitar. But he's such a great musician, he can do it that way. I write from an idea standpoint, and that's why it works for somebody like me and Vince to get together and write together, because he's so strong melodically and my strength is in the lyrics, so we kind of combine the two, and we've come up with a few songs together.
And, you know, 60 years the Grand Ole Opry, but inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, that's just been a few years ago. That had to mean something to you, because that's what we've been talking about here for the last 10 minutes.
Well, I was in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame back in 1975, but to get to go to New York and be up there next to, you know, all the biggies that have been down through the years and be inducted into, I guess, what is referred to as the National Songwriters Hall of Fame. That was a great honor. It was a wonderful night and something that I'll never forget or cease to be grateful for.
We're talking with the legendary Whispering Bill Anderson here, picking with the Pickers on the Greg Pogan, John Burton Show. You've worked with so many artists. I'm curious, was there an artist that maybe you thought, I don't know if this is going to work out, and it ended up being, like, you know, a great time for you and the artist, and you guys just cranked out hits all over the place?
No, I don't know that I ever worked with anybody that I thought wasn't going to make it. I mean, who am I to judge?
Right.
I don't know. As I said, you know, the public is the ultimate judge, but I've had the opportunity and the privilege and pleasure over the years of working with everybody from Roy Acuff to Garth Brooks, and that's a pretty wide path right there. I tell people all the time, I feel like I came to Nashville at just the right time. I kind of got here on the tail end of what we call the hillbilly era in the late 50s and early 60s, and then to still be going at it, you know, today, I've been extremely blessed.
Bill Anderson has mentioned Picking with the Pickers, presented by Tim Lipa Roofing. Tim's going to be along with us here in a little while. We're going to pick some games. You were telling me the other day, though, I know we're going to pick Georgia. I texted you the games, and we were talking that Georgia and South Carolina. I want to talk more about this now than later, because we'll be in the middle of the picking part of it. You were telling me that, what, South Carolina was the first college football game you went to? Your dad took you? Is that what you were telling me?
Yes, I was born in Columbia, South Carolina, just almost in the shadow of the university over there. And my dad took me to my first football game. It was back during the war years, 43, 44, somewhere in there. I was 6 or 7 years old. And he took me out to what is now Williams-Brice Stadium, and we saw the South Carolina Gamecocks play the Presbyterian Blue Hose. Now, I remember the score. South Carolina won the game 44-0. And from that moment on, I was kind of a Gamecock fan. You know, you guys, I don't know if John, you may know this, but when you're from South Carolina, have you guys ever heard of Big Thursday?
No. Yeah. Big Thursday?
I think so.
Big Thursday.
All right.
In South Carolina, let me tell you, growing up over there, in South Carolina, on the Thursday of State Fair Week, when the State Fair was in Columbia, Thursday was a state holiday. You know why? Because South Carolina played Clemson on Big Thursday. They played right there in Columbia. And, I mean, yeah, we wouldn't have to go to school or anything. We'd sit home and listen to the game on the radio. And so I kind of grew up in that kind of environment as a football fan, and South Carolina was the first team that I ever pulled for.
So where did Georgia come along?
Well, Georgia came along after we moved to Georgia.
Yeah.
We moved from Columbia to just outside of Atlanta when I was about 8 years old. And then I became a Bulldog, and I'm still a Bulldog. And if you don't believe it, I'm sitting here right now with my Georgia baseball cap on my head.
In some red clay on your boots, right?
Oh, absolutely, and under my fingernails. That red clay never goes away.
Bill Anderson with us, picking with the Pickers. There's so many things that we can go in any direction. But you were on the Match Game, right? The TV, the Match Game. And Gene Rayburn?
Yeah, and that little skinny microphone.
That skinny mic?
I always thought it looked like a little hamburger on the top of the microphone. I was like, I'd be a little kid watching it and be like, well, why doesn't he eat that? I'm weird like that.
I got into doing game shows back in the 70s, and I really enjoyed it. It was kind of a left turn, kind of a detour in my music career. But I got to going out to California, and I appeared on Match Game quite a few times, and on Password Plus and Hollywood Squares and Family Feud and the different game shows. And then I ended up hosting a game show on ABC back in the late 70s. And then when the Nashville Network started here in town, I came back and hosted a game show there. I enjoy game shows. They're a lot of fun. And I made a lot of great friends. You mentioned Gene Rayburn and all the crazies on Match Game. That was a lot of fun. And let me tell you, the great part of it is I still, today, in fact, last week, I got a royalty check from an old Match Game.
Did we lose Bill? We'll call Bill right back.
Okay.
Call Bill, and then we'll call Tim. Yeah, his phone just dropped.
He was in the middle of a great story.
I know.
I want to know how much that royalty check was for.
Maybe not enough to pay the phone
Probably
bill.
Probably like 12 cents or something like that. Who knows?
I've heard Steve Cropper tell the story back. You know, now they just do automatic deposits, right? You'd go to you'd go to your mailbox every day to get a royal. You know, just I would like set a tent up I would build right by my mailbox. I would build my apartment because that's where the royalty checks came in the mail. And everything. So we'll reconnect with Bill. What a legend!
You know? Oh man, I mean just the things he's experienced and the artists that he's worked with. I mean, I'm looking at his discography. Got to be careful when I say that. You know, right now on Wikipedia, I think you were earlier. I mean, I'm just look at this list of albums and. My gosh, singles and, like you said, the people he's worked with.
Well, Bill, apparently that royalty check wasn't enough to pay your phone bill.
It was $15.46, in case you missed that.
That's where it dropped. We didn't get the amount. Yeah. And how long from the time you did it to the royalty check arrived?
Oh, well, I mean, I'd gotten some little checks along the way. They kind of have to do that, you know, with union regulations.
Right.
But just the fact that they're still coming in today for, you know, things we did 40 years ago out in California. And I mean, $15.46, that ain't going to buy you much today, but hey, I appreciate it.
But if it's from the Match Game, I'd frame it. I wouldn't even cash it, Bill. I just put it up on the wall. Yeah, but back, you know, now I guess they're still mailing the royalty checks. But I was talking to Steve Cropper, and of course, all the royalty checks he gets. You know, back in the day, they came by mail, all of them, instead of that, you know, direct deposit. I think I'd pitch me a tent by the mailbox and just wait for my checks to come in.
Well, you're going to go awful hungry out there by your mailbox waiting on
What are you working on now? Give me, where are you headed the next 3-6 months, beside obviously your appearances like tomorrow night on the Grand Ole Opry?
Well, a couple of pretty exciting things going on, actually. Here's one that'll, I hope, make all the guys just a little bit envious. I just recorded a new duet with Dolly Parton.
Oh, man. what a wonderful woman.
She is just
absolutely incredible, and she's the Energizer Bunny of entertainment. She just never runs down. She just doesn't say no to people. She is just absolutely one of the greatest humans in the world, and I'm real excited about this record. I think, oddly enough, I think our voices had a pretty cool blend, and I think the song we recorded is something that may resonate with the folks. So it's not going to come out anytime soon because she has got so many things on her plate right now, and we don't want to, you know, cloud up things and confuse people with what she's got going on. But sometime after the first of the year, that duet's going to come out. And then I guess really the super big thing in my life right now is we're gearing up for a December 3rd opening down at the Country Music Hall of Fame. They are doing a Bill Anderson exhibit in their big exhibit hall down there. And they've been bringing their trucks and bands out to my house and my office and packing up and hauling away everything that's not nailed down. So going to be kind of like my life flashing before my eyes, I guess. But I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be up from December 3rd of this year until March of 2023.
That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations about it. That is so cool. I read an interview over the weekend, as a matter of fact, with Emmylou Harris, and talking about, I guess, her time with Rodney Crowell earlier on, Graham Parsons, but Rodney Crowell, and just – And when you're singing, like you just talked about with Dolly, how two voices harmonize to become one. Is that too simplistic?
No, if you're lucky, that happens. You know, not everybody can sing with everybody. Not everybody's voices blend. I think the thing about my voice and Dolly's voice on this record is the contrast, because I mean we not only don't look anything alike, we don't sound anything alike. But when you put the voices together, there's a very unique blend there, and I'm really excited about that, and will always be grateful to her for being willing to make this record with me.
Bill Anderson, it is Picking with the Pickers, Whispering Bill, presented by Tim Leeper Roofing. And Tim comes on with us every week to pick some games. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. Say hello to Bill Anderson.
Hey, Mr. Bill, how are you this morning?
Hey, Tim, I'm doing good. I need to talk to you about a roof. I noticed the place online was leaking the other day.
I'd be glad to come out and talk to you. I was going to tell you, congratulations on that Hall of Fame exhibit. It's not just everybody they let in there.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited about it, and I hope at some point you'll be able to come down and walk through it. Maybe we can go through it together.
If you go through it without me, Bill, I'm going to be mad, okay? I'll just tell you that right now.
Well, you know, that's life, Bogey.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, oh, man. Tim, you've got a story about with Whispering Bill, right?
Well, I was telling Greg the other day that, you know, your song with Jamie Johnson, the guitar song, I put that thing on repeat, and I can listen to it from here to Cookeville and never take it off. It just doesn't get old. I play it over and over and over again. I'm not saying that because I'm on air with you. That's really one of my favorite songs.
Thank you. Well, Jamie Johnson is one of my favorite people on the planet, and we had a lot of fun not only recording that song, but writing it, and I'm glad you like it. Thank you.
All right, you guys ready to pick some games?
Might as well.
Let's do it.
All right, our Secretary General Patton, get us up to date. We had Vince Gill the first week, Killer Bees comedian, last week, and then obviously Bill this week. Where are we?
Well, let's run through how week two went for you guys. We picked four games. First was the Tennessee and Pittsburgh game. It was a rough one for everyone except Tim Leeper. He picked Pittsburgh -3. Of course, Pittsburgh won that game by 7. Everybody else, Greg, John, and Killer Bees, they took Tennessee plus the points. They did not cover. So that game is a loss. And up next was Virginia Tech and MTSU. MTSU did not cover in that game. They did not cover the +20. Everybody but Greg Pogan, Tim Leeper. You guys picked Virginia Tech in that game, so kudos to you fellas. Then it was the Vandy and the Titans game, and a tough game for the for those two teams. Vandy ended up winning they ended up winning that game. They covered the points, and they won the game. So, John, you lost that one. You picked Colorado State in that one, as well as Killer Bees in that one, as well as Tim Leeper. So, Greg, you were the only Vandy believer in that game. And then finally, the Titans game versus the Cardinals. We were all suckers.
All homers.
All homers for the Titans in that one. Everybody took Titans -3. Of course, they did not. They didn't cover the game, and neither did they win it. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and run you through the standings through week three. Tim, unfortunately, or Mr. Anderson, you are kind of behind the tape right now. 2-6 right now is what the guests
are. He has nothing to do with that.
You got some catching up to do this week. But Tim Leeper, you are 6-2. You are currently tied with Greg. Greg and Tim, you are 6-2. John, with your 0-for this past week. Mm. You're in third place right now at 4-4, but it's a new week. Picks.
Let's get it going.
0-for last week.
Yeah, I took the golden sombrero.
Oh, wow. All right. Here you go. We're going to pick. We'll start with Vanderbilt. Stanford comes to town. First time Vandy has had a home game against a Pac-8 10-12 team ever. Stanford is a 12-point favorite. Bill, we'll start with you. Stanford 12-point favorite over Vandy. Which way are you going?
Well, I wish they were playing baseball instead of football. Vanderbilt handled Stanford in the College World Series last year, if you remember. I think Stanford put up over 40 points against Southern California, and I think the Vandy defense is a little suspect. I hate to do it. I'm going to pick with my head instead of my heart. I hope Vandy wins, but I'm going to pick Stanford minus the points.
All right. Tim, Stanford minus 12 over Vandy. Which way are you going?
You can't hardly pitch against or for these guys. They are the albatross of anything you're trying to gamble on. But I would tell you that I'm going to go with Mr. Bill on this, and I'm taking Stanford.
All right. John?
I'm in agreement with our two guests. Give me Stanford, and I'll lay the points. I flipped. Earlier in the week, I thought Vandy could cover, maybe outright win, but I don't know. I got a weird feeling about this game. So give me the Cardinal, and I'll lay the 12.
I guess, again, I'm the only one taking Vandy. I'm going to go Vandy plus the 12. I think Stanford is overinflated with everything that they did with the Southern Cal win, got the coach fired. And I think Ken Seals really – showed a lot, and I know it was only Colorado State, but I'm going to take Vandy plus the points. MTSU goes to San Antonio, Texas San Antonio. Texas San Antonio is a 13-point favorite over the Blue Raiders. Bill, you got a San Antonio song in there somewhere?
Well, Charlie Pride had "Is Anybody Going to San Antonio?" I guess the Blue Raiders are going to San Antonio. I'm sorry, what did you say the point?
San Antonio, Texas San Antonio, is a 13-point favorite over MTSU.
Yeah. I thought MTSU, actually, even though they lost the game and didn't cover the spread, I thought they played reasonably well, or showed, from what I could tell, played reasonably well against Virginia Tech. Let's go with the Blue Raiders. Maybe they'll go down to Texas and have some good luck.
All right, MTSU for, plus the 13 for Bill. Tim?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take San Antonio in this one. I think that that's a road game. It's going to be a hard game. They're coming off a tough loss, and sometimes you get lost, and it's hard to find your way back. I think they're going to struggle for just a little bit. I don't wish it on them, but I'm taking the laying the points on this one too.
So you get lost listening to Bill and Jamie Johnson all the way to Cookeville. Yeah, that sounds – yeah. John?
Been struggling with this one all week. I will say give me the Blue Raiders.
I guess I could be the only contrarian, but I think Middle's going to hang with this one. I thought they – Bill, you're right. They were only down by a touchdown at halftime at Virginia Tech. It got away late, but I thought they played pretty well up there. I'm going to take MTSU plus 13. Bill, this one, you know, we're not doing Tennessee because they're playing Tennessee Tech. So this one's on the board for you. Georgia, when I told you this, I think you almost called me a fibber. Georgia is a 32-point favorite over South Carolina. I hadn't looked it up, but that's got to be a historic line in that. But the Georgia Bulldogs, your Bulldogs, 32-point favorite over South Carolina, Bill.
All you got to do is look back a little bit at the history. South Carolina, every year, they save their best game for Georgia. If you remember back in 18 or 19, I forget which year it was, Georgia would have had an undefeated season except for a mediocre South Carolina team that beat them, and I think they beat them in Athens. And they just seem to always dial it up when they play Georgia. Like I say, you know, I went to Georgia, graduated from there. I'm sitting here with my Georgia hat on. I'm a Bulldog through and through. But, man, 32 points. My goodness. I just don't believe they're going to beat them by 32 points. I really don't.
Yeah,
I hope they win. But I really don't think that's a big spread.
Yeah, you hope they win by 31. Tim, Georgia's a 32-point favorite over South Carolina.
Well, I've got some Georgia friends, and I think Georgia's a strong team. I'm not sure if I'm going to do this justice, and I thought I was going to get some help from Mr. Bill, but evidently I'm not. So you tell me if I'm doing this right, Mr. Bill. Woo, 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 woo.
I don't know. What is that supposed? That's supposed to be me and Jamie Johnson.
That was Jamie.
Oh my Lord! Is there a pick over there, Tim?
That's my pick. I'm picking Georgia.
Georgia minus the 30. You know, it's a 32-point spread for a reason, you know.
It is, but I can't lay that many points. Give me South Carolina to cover.
I agree. I thought this would be in the mid to upper 20s at the most. So, yeah, I'm going to take South Carolina plus the 32. And then the Titans coming off the disappointing season opener. They go to Seattle. Seattle's a 5.5-point favorite over the Titans, Bill.
And that is one tough place to play. My goodness, I've never been to a game there, but I've seen that stadium, and the stadium itself is intimidating. And, of course, when you put all those crazy fans in there that scream and yell so loud that you can't hear the signals you're calling, it's a double dose there. I wish the Titans the best of luck. I would love for them to win. I'm a big Titans fan, but I just don't believe, based on what I saw last week, I don't think they're going to cover. I think I'll take Seattle.
All right. Tim?
I don't care if the line was 25. I'm still taking Seattle after what they done to me last week.
Tim, off the Titans bandwagon. John?
Well, Bill, I have been to that stadium. It is an intimidating place. It's loud. And, I'm a little down based on what I saw last week. So I will take the Seahawks and the 5.5.
I don't think your highs are as high or your lows are as low in the NFL. I think 5.5, yeah, I'm going to take Titans and the points. I think they hang, they go out there, they play better. They can't play any worse, I guess. So am I the only one doing the Titans too? My God.
Homer.
Hey, well, no, I'm trying to I'm trying to win this thing 0-4 over there. So anyway.
Kick a man when he's down. Good. Yeah.
All right. Tim, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Be well.
And Bill, you know what I think? I was honored to meet you and befriend you, I don't know, 30 years ago when I was at the Banner, and you've been so kind to me. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's a real honor to speak with you, Bill. It really is.
Thank you, John. I love being with you guys. I look forward to it, and see you same time next year.
Now, and then you will be in, and we may hook back with up you a little later on, okay? You know?
Okay.
We have repeat performers on here, and we'll make.
We got to get them in studio.
We got to get that intro updated too.
Yes, so, anyway. Absolutely.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Bye,
right. Bill Anderson. I don't. You know.
What a life! What a career! We should all be so lucky.
An amazing, amazing man.
Yep,
he really is. Picking with the Pickers, presented by Tim Leeper Roofing. We'll take a break.